Jonah, God, and the Fish. Let's talk about it on this edition of Tea Light.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Tea Light. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves the teacher. To apply to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time of worship was as wonderful and uplifting as was mine at the church I attend. And I hope your pastor's sermon ministered to you in the same way my pastor's sermon ministered to me. If you have your Bible, open to the book of Jonah. It's another one of those small books that have a tremendous impact. And we're going to see as we go along, and this is a part of our Old Testament survey, we're going to see that Jesus loves the book of Jonah. And we're going to try to find out why this week and next week as we continue with the Old Testament survey. So if you're in a place where you can open your Bible and you have a Bible, and those of you who are spiritual will, we're going to study the book of Jonah. Before we do that, it is our practice, before we study the book, to go before the throne. So let's do that. Father, as we move into another week, we praise you and we worship you for the gift of this week. Father, forgive us for our ungratefulness. We look at our problems. We look at the storms. We look at our sins. We look at our disobedience. We look at people who seem to be so off. We look at things that are going wrong, but we hardly ever look at you. Father, make us to be obsessive about you and not about the other stuff. Keep us focused on you. Make our name a name that would bring honor and glory to your name. But Father, there are things that keep us awake at night and make us afraid, that cause our hand to tremble and perspiration to break out on our forehead, and we bring those before you. You know the man who lost his job and he's really scared. You know the couple going through a divorce and they are so angry. Father, you know the young man who's making a decision about his life, the young woman who's dealing with harassment at work. Father, you know it all. And we come before you with the little things and the big things, knowing that you're sufficient, that you're adequate, that we can trust you, that we can lean on you and lean on you hard. Father, meet us at the point of our needs and heal and cleanse and forgive and change and remind us that we're about you and not about us. And then, Father, on the broadcast this week, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins. They call him Reverend, and he's not much. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible open to the book of Jonah, this is a part of a very long Old Testament survey, not line upon line and precept upon precept, but rather looking at each book of the Older Testament, giving some exegetical notes, some handles that will help you understand it, and then digging into some of the key verses that are a part of each book. And we're up to the book of Jonah. And I haven't decided for sure yet, but I may just continue into the New Testament and do a New Testament survey, and then we can put all of that together in a very small but profound commentary on the entirety of God's Word. Well, maybe not, but it would be helpful, I think, if we do that. But I haven't decided, and we've got miles and miles to go before we finish this Old Testament survey. Now, the book of Jonah in the Hebrew Bible is one of three sections called the Prophets. The other two, and I've told you this before on numerous occasions, called the Law and the Writings. It's called one of the latter prophets. Now, in the English Bible, Jonah's one of three sections called the prophetic books, the other two poetical and then historical. And it's one of the minor prophets. Now, not minor because what he says is minor, but just because it's little. Now, we don't know hardly anything about the man Jonah. His name means dove. He was the son of Amati, and he was born in the village of Gath-Hesper. The traditional site of his tomb is in the village of Meshed. Abdullah's ministry was shortly before that of Amos under Jeroboam II. That would be about 782 to 753 BC. He was an Israelite of the tribe of Zebulun. And during his ministry, you can read about it in 2 Kings 14:25, he predicted victory over the Assyrians. No, over the Syrians, I'm sorry. I want to make sure that your notes are proper for this. Now, there's been a lot of controversy over the book of Jonah, and there have been three main views of the literary genre of Jonah. Some people say, this is just allegorical. This is not historical. They're twits. The others say, it's just a parable. They're wrong, too. I'm just kidding around. And there are those, and I would include myself in the third category. Thus, you know the third category is true, that say that the book of Jonah is historical narrative. Now, while the book of Jonah does have some allegorical or parabolic overtones, it's my view that the book is historical for two reasons. First, Jonah was a real person who lived in real time and space, who had a real ministry. And then secondly, and the more important reason that we're going to talk about later, is that Jesus referred to Jonah because he loved Jonah, and he referred to him as an historical personage. Now, there's also been a great deal of controversy as to the date of Jonah. And no, I'm not going to go into that. It's not necessary that the book of Jonah be written by the prophet Jonah. Nowhere in the book is the author named, and while the material must have its source in Jonah himself, he may not have been the author. We're just not sure. Prominent Bible scholars have differed on the date, and again, I'm not going to go into it. Some have said 8th century B.C. to the 2nd. A couple of guidelines, Nineveh, was destroyed in 612 B.C., so it seems to me rather logical that the book must have been written sometime before 612 B.C., and we must assume that it was probably written before the Assyrians laid siege to Samaria in 721 B.C. So I would suggest you can't chisel in concrete, but a good date for Jonah would be around 725 B.C. Simple outline, chapters 1 through 2, Jonah's commission and disobedience, chapters 3 through 4, Jonah's renewed commission, and the result of that new commission and mission from the God of the universe. You know the story. It's a very short story, just four chapters. Jonah is told by God to go to Nineveh, and he did what a lot of us do. He went in the other direction. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Nineveh later on. You don't want to go there either. I mean, this is not a pleasant place for a vacation. It's like going to Bosnia or Afghanistan in the middle of a war. And God said, Jonah. Jonah said, I'm your man. And God said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, repeat that. I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah said, I don't think so. And he goes down to the dock and he heads for Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is in Spain, the western end of the Mediterranean, and that's in the other direction. And then you remember there's this storm. It's funny how pagans get spiritual when they get scared, and they said, we've offended somebody's God somewhere. There's somebody bigger here than Phil. And they look around, and Jonah, good man that he was, says, it's me, I'm sorry. They throw him overboard, and this big fish, and don't say whale, there's no place that it says whale, a big fish picked him up and gave him, it wasn't a first class cabin, but in fact, it was probably a pretty dirty place to be, and gave him a ride and deposited him on the shores of Nineveh. That's when Jonah decided to be obedient. That would do it for me. And Jonah preaches probably the shortest sermon ever preached, certainly the shortest sermon that ever caused a revival that was ever preached. He walked throughout Nineveh yelling, yet 10 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And then, much to Jonah's surprise, the Ninevites repented. And Jonah wasn't altogether that happy with it. And Jonah sits down under a plant, and I have in my notes, but I was talking to Eric before this happened. I don't know where I got it in my notes, that it was a castor oil plant. But the text doesn't say that. And Eric said, are you going to trust your notes? Are you going to trust the text of sacred scripture? Well, I got it somewhere. And if it was a castor oil plant, I hope it died. When you were a kid, did your mother give you castor oil? I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But I don't have any problems with the castor oil plant or whatever it was dying. Jonah was sitting under it for shade, and God said, you care more about that plant than you do about real people. So that's the story. Now, as I was relating the story to you, I was relating it to me. Because on numerous occasions, God has told me to do one thing, and I did just the other. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about it. But for right now, you remember, if you've ever done that, and you belong to Jesus, He's not angry at you. But don't do it again. You can think about that a minute. Hey, listen, if you don't have our free booklet, Christmas Meditations, give us a call or drop us a note. It'll help you as we move into the Christmas season with your devotional time. We'll send it to you free, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life Post Office Box, 5000 Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and ask for Christmas Meditations. When I say it's free, I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, I need you to help me if God calls you to do that. You can charge it on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include a gift in your envelope. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send along as my thank you, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation, teaching on radical grace from the radical Christmas text of John 1. So, if you can help us financially, I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. Be sure and give us the call letters of this station when you write or call, and ask for the absolutely free booklet, Christmas Meditations, and I'll send it to you. And then there's one other thing before I go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.